of you have ever received an extravagant gift? Or maybe you were the one that was on the receiving end of that extravagant gift. See, think about that moment for a minute, the emotions that it brought to you, either as the gift giver or the gift receiver. I was a receiver of such a gift a long time ago. I was about 14, and we had just moved to Missouri, and our next door neighbor, who liked horses, found out that she had a horse-crazy teenage girl living next door to her. She gave me a six-month-old colt, which is a baby horse for those of you who aren't horse people, and she didn't discuss it with my parents. So you can imagine the emotions that were running through. You had a very extremely horse-crazy teenage girl that just got her first horse. So I was over the moon happy. I was excited. I was shocked. And then there were my parents. They didn't get asked beforehand, and you know, you can't take back a gift like that from somebody who is so excited to have that gift, right? So my parents were, you know, they were a little unhappy. There was some grumbling and complaining, but they took it in stride and they eventually moved on. Now, I have a younger sister. Now, if you know, sometimes there's those people in our families or our friend circles that they don't always see things the way we see them, right? They didn't get the gift, so maybe they're a little jealous. Maybe they're angry or they're indignant that this event happened to somebody else and not them, right? So they were, my sister was one of those folks. She was kind of, well, my sister got that. That's not fair, right? So the emotions are all running high in this situation. And in instances like this, gifts, they evoke emotions, right, in our lives. And so as we're living these and as our emotions are unfolding to these events, our brain tells us, you know, they tell us a story. So whether you're angry, you're happy, you get this story. And sometimes that story that we tell ourselves isn't really what happened, right? So in the moment you're happy, you remember those happy things. But what if you're the person that's angry and upset? Maybe you might not see that story the same way. And so sometimes we skew that. Our brain tells us something that really didn't happen because of our emotions getting in the way. So in our scripture today, the disciples let their emotions rule how they saw a situation. You know, they'd been with Jesus this whole ministry. They had been walking with him and talking with him. And you know, Jesus kind of taught, it's not really written in the Bible, but we know Jesus kind of said, hey, you know, if you walk in somebody else's shoes, you understand their situation, right? You come beside them, you learn about them. Well, the disciples learned that message too, but in this situation, they made a split-second decision about someone they'd never met. They had just seen this particular person at that moment. So as we read this encounter from Mark chapter 14, this happened 2 days before Passover. Hear these words, verses 3 through 9. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those who were at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages, and the money could have been given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed." Can you hear it? The disciples being scolded by Jesus for the harsh words they'd said to that woman. Now, can you imagine how those disciples felt in that moment? Jesus had just scolded them. And you know, I'm sure at that point, they were like, we've done all this stuff with Jesus. We've learned so much. who's this woman? What is she to Jesus, right? They had done all these amazing things with her. And, you know, our scripture really doesn't tell us much about who this woman is. We don't know her name. We don't know where she came from. But we do know that Jesus took the time to receive that gift. And in Jesus' day, anointing oil was used typically for someone that had died. They anointed their body, the body, with oil before they were buried. But in our story, Jesus was quite alive, which is kind of what threw the disciples a little bit in their way of thinking. So here's this woman who anointed him with this very expensive perfume. And our disciples, they'd been with Jesus all this time, but you see, they hadn't been open to the teachings of Jesus on the subject of his death and resurrection. Oh, they'd heard it. Jesus had told them numerous times that he was going to die and he was going to be raised from the dead, but the disciples weren't ready to listen. Their hearts were not open to receive that information yet. And so our poor clueless disciples, they're baffled by what this woman had done. And the scripture, like I said, didn't tell us the reasoning behind why the woman did what she did. But you know, when God's involved, we get glimpses sometimes of our future, right? We get just little pieces of what God wants us to see in that moment. And I believe, and this is my personal opinion, I believe that I imagine God shared something with this woman, and we will never know what it is, but I believe that he shared with her what was going to happen to him. She had that insight that she knew here was an opportunity for her to go all in for God. So she anointed Jesus at that point in time, knowing that he was going to be crucified, and maybe they might not have a chance to prepare his body like a normal burial should be prepared. So she did it in advance. Now, the disciples, they'd been with Jesus this whole time, yet they could not see what was ahead. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you couldn't see an opportunity to serve, or maybe a way to give, or even a way to really worship, even when it was right there in front of you? I know I've had moments like that. I don't know about you. Have you guys had any moments where you're just like, oh, man? So kind of the disciples are in that, right? How would you react if somebody pointed that out to you? If you're struggling and somebody comes to you and says, you know, I think maybe you could do this. Some of us, you know, sometimes that criticism is a little hard to hear. So some of us might get a little angry. Some of us may get defensive. And then there are those rare few, and I know I'm learning to be that person, but I'm not there yet, might even take that as insight. Hey, yeah, that's a great idea. Thank you so much for sharing that with me, right? So we have all these emotions that are running around. And, you know, the disciples, they're still clueless. But like another story in the Bible, we've all heard of the story, or I hope most of us have heard the story, I'm not going to say all, of the widow and her two mites, right? She gave all she had to God as a gift. So here we have this woman in Scripture who I would say probably spent most of her money, if not all, on a very expensive jar of perfume to anoint Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if I spent all my money on something expensive like that, she showed extreme, extravagant love to Jesus. She went all in. She gave everything she had to him for that moment. So here's how God shows us how we all can live this out in our life, right? So God showed it to us. You know, as we're drifting through life, and all of us have lived at some point in our life, maybe without God at one time or another, we've strayed from the path. And we've all come up short, because we're all sinners. We don't deserve what God gave us. Yet, He sent his son to live amongst us, to teach us, and to die for us on the cross, yet to be raised in final victory for us, so that we might have eternal life. God sacrificed himself so we might live out our plan that God has for us. God loves us so much, despite all we have done, that he made the ultimate loving sacrifice so that we could live for eternity with him. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's the all-time extravagant gift. I think that sets the bar really high for the rest of us, right? Extravagant love is a devout action from the heart. We can see that the woman in our scripture today didn't let the anger and the indignation of the disciples affect what she was doing. She just continued on lavishing that love onto Jesus with that oil. And knowing, and only Jesus knew that woman's story, but in doing that act, she knew that she had eternal life with him. And here's a great quote that I love. To quote Bob Goff, extravagant love is never wasted, ever. So here's a really great example of extravagant love, a story that I found from, it's actually a blog site called Purposeful Singleness. Illustrates what extravagant love is in a non-emotional, because we think of love as an emotion, right? We love our neighbor, we love our spouse, our children. But in this kind of love, God is asking us to go above and beyond. So think of that as like that agape love with God. We're all in, and God wants us to show that kind of love to the world. So in this story, the author, Fern Horst, shares, I know a woman who spent her entire life as a missionary, as a nurse in Nepal. She traveled from village to village teaching women how to prepare nutritious meals for their families and telling them how much God loved them. In over 35 years she served there, the Christian church grew significantly. But this didn't just happen all at once. When she was a young woman, she had to make a difficult decision. She knew without a doubt God was calling her to be a missionary. But when she discovered her boyfriend had no intention of going into missional work, she was presented with a tough choice. Marry him and live a young woman's dream of a husband and a family, or give him up and the possibility of marriage and children to follow God's call in her life. She chose the latter. She broke her precious bottle of perfume, the hopes and dreams of having a family, and poured it out for the Lord in an extravagant offering of devotion to him. Her sacrifice probably appeared foolish to some, but her choice brought many into Christ's kingdom and brought honor to him poured it out for the Lord an extravagant offering and devotion to him. Her sacrifice probably appeared foolish to some, but her choice brought many into Christ's kingdom and brought much honor to him, who also forfeited having a spouse and a family to fulfill God's purpose for him. Fern also continued, there are many ways to be extravagant in our love for Jesus, including serving God with a spouse and or raising children to serve him if that's what he calls you to do. Each of us has our own precious bottle of fragrance, perhaps more than one. Will you use it for your own enjoyment and self-gratification? Will you follow others and their opinions of what we should do with it? Or will we sacrificially offer it back to God in whatever he asks us to, as an extravagant display of our love and devotion to him? Extravagant love requires us to be receptive to God. We have to be listening for his call. And by the way, you're all called to do something for God. You don't have to be called to ministry. You don't need to be called to be a pastor. But every single one of you was given a call by God to do something in your life for him. In our busy lives, we get distracted by the world around us, and we forget that we need to separate ourselves from the busyness and spend time with God. Whether that means in prayer, whether that means that we ourselves take a Sabbath and praise God and relax in God's presence, just being with Him. We're all called to do something important in His kingdom. Have you found your calling yet? Extravagant love requires us to be all in. God wants our whole self, not just part of us. He wants our heart, our mind, our body, and our soul. God calls us to a mission in life, and we need to be ready to accept that, or we're going to get left behind. The woman in the scripture, she knew, she was aware of the fact of who Jesus was, and God had laid it before her to anoint Jesus at that specific time, knowing what was coming. Before we leave this passage this morning, I want you to note the woman's not the only one who showed extravagant love in this scripture. You may have noticed this, or you might not have noticed this, because this person was only mentioned briefly in passing. Simon, the man who once had leprosy, has invited Jesus into his house. He's entertaining the disciples, which is not a small task. Simon would not have been a wealthy man because he had just been healed from leprosy, you know, recently. And as being a leper, you know that they're cut off from their family. They're not allowed to work. So Simon probably didn't have enough time to acquire any wealth or any money at that point to sustain himself, let alone feed Jesus and the disciples. In this time, he took on entertaining Jesus and the disciples. He would have given them food and drink and things that would have been expensive to him. But he also tells us by his actions that living with a generous and extravagant heart that pours everything into thanksgiving for who Jesus is and what he has done shows us that even us, at our lowest moment, we still have something to offer to God. It doesn't require money. All it requires is a willing and loving heart. So are you ready to pour your extravagant love into God? Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, please let these words today settle on our hearts. And thank you so much for giving us an example of this wonderful woman who showed extravagant love to you so that we may have an example of what that extravagant love looks like, Lord. Please place it upon our hearts to show extravagant love to you and to others, Lord, as you see fit. In our name we pray. Amen.